And turn with me to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Verse 1. Listen carefully to God's word. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself any carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, and showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. Amen. A leading sports figure several years ago touted for his great conversion to Christianity. As he was questioned about some of his beliefs, reflected on the Ten Commandments, and he said, I quote, "To hell with the Ten Commandments. Christ has set me free from them." I dare say that is, to some extent, the attitude of many people and surprisingly Christians in our day. Some time ago, I was reading Atlantic Monthly, an article entitled Brave New Marriage. And it was talking about how couples nowadays are having open marriages where they swap partners with each other for one-nighters or for weekends. Brave new marriage. It seems that the very fiber and fabric of our nation's morality is being slowly picked apart in many different areas. One such area is that area where the highest court in this nation has made rulings which, in essence, has outlawed Christianity in the educational institutions and in other places in this country. It has, in essence, made it legal to post the anti-theistic, the anti-Christian document called the Humanist Manifesto in the classrooms of Kentucky, but it is against the law to post the Ten Commandments in those same schools. The piecemeal dismantling of the Ten Commandments in our country has been the piecemeal dismantling of a nation. Show me the nation which has the least regard for the commandments of God, in particular the Ten Commandments, and I will show you a nation that is farther and further removed from true freedom. The psalmist said it in Psalm 119:45. I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. What is true for the individual is true for the nation. It is only as that person, as that nation, obeys the precepts of God that it experiences true liberty. And it is true for you. You break the commandment, you break the commandment, sooner or later, the commandment will break you. It will take you into a new bondage that you have never experienced before. Well, this morning we're going to begin having a look at the Ten Commandments, at their relevance to our society today. We want to consider, firstly, the background for the Ten Commandments, the historical background. You remember that the Israelites had been in bondage in Egypt for almost 500 years. When Moses went down and he said, "Let my people go," and after 10 plagues, the last being that the firstborn of each household was struck dead, then Pharaoh finally let the people go. They left and they came to the Red Sea. The sea was before them, the enemy was behind them, and mountains were on either side, and they had no escape. I'll never forget a little Scottish girl who, when she was told the story of the Red Sea, said, "At that moment I was born again." Because it was as if those people who were boxed in by the Red Sea and their enemies and the mountains, there was no way of escape. And so God parted the waters and He made a way for the people of God. And in the same way, the cross of Jesus Christ delivers you. No escape except the cross. They came to the Red Sea. They parted 3 months later. They came to Mount Sinai, and God called Moses up into the mountains, and He gave to him the Ten Commandments written with the finger of God. The preamble says, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. I am the Lord your God." Here we have a summary of who it is. It is the God, the creator of the universe, and the one who has created this nation. The Lord suggests the personal name of God, Yahweh or Jehovah. God suggests the creative name of God, Elohim, which in the Hebrew is in the plural, therefore suggesting God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit together. Here we have the God of the universe who is expressed in this one sentence in the preamble of the Ten Commandments. I am the Lord your God. But He says, "I am your God." He says, "I am your God personally." It is you individually and personally that of whom he is the God. Not just of the Christians. Not just of those people who acknowledge him as the true and living God, the God of the Bible. He is the only living and true God, the God of the universe. He says, I am the God who brought you. He is the God of creation. He is the God who is establishing a personal relationship with his people. And he is the God who brought you. That is, who brought those Israelites out of the house of bondage. Have you ever noticed that God first delivered his people out of bondage before he brought them to Mount Sinai and gave them the law? Doesn't that mean something to you? Before the giving of the law, there was the grace of salvation. Isn't that the way God acts today? Before you can begin to walk in God's commandments, before you can begin to obey the Ten Commandments and the Sermon on the Mount and the Golden Rule and all those other principles of Christianity, you must first experience the redemption and the grace which God offers in the cross of the Lord Jesus. I think many, many times there are those who are yet in the Christian church who think that somehow if they come and sit and listen and try to do better, things will get better and they can finally get a handle on their lives, but it will never happen. It will never happen. It will never happen. Because first they must be born of the Spirit of God. They must experience redemption as those people delivered out of Egypt experienced, before they can begin to obey the principles that are written in this book. Well, what is the meaning of the Ten Commandments? We've looked at the background, that is the historical and the preamble. What is the meaning according to the Bible generally? What is the purpose? Its meaning is to reveal what God is like. You see, your understanding is limited. My understanding is limited. If God had not revealed himself in this book, then you and I would never be able to understand who God is or what he expects. It is only as he revealed himself in the Word of God that we know who this God is. We learn that God is perfect. We read in the Ten Commandments, you shall not, you shall not, you shall not, you shall not. That is a perfect standard. He does not allow any deviation from his perfect standard. That is what God is. God is absolutely perfect. He is absolutely pure, and he will not tolerate even a hair's direction to the right or to the left. The person who says that they believe or that they do not believe in the Ten Commandments, as our sports figure friend said, cannot at the same time believe in God. Did you hear me? Friend, you cannot reject the Ten Commandments of God and say you believe in God. You know why? Because there is no other God. Because the God of the Ten Commandments is the only God there is, and if you think there is another, then that is just the figment of your imagination. There are no other gods other than the God of the Bible. And his law is perfect. And this is what he expects. I said that he is one who reveals what he is like, and he is unchanging. Some time ago, I was talking with a man who was asking me about a divorce. Biblical grounds for a divorce, and his conscience was greatly troubled. And so he said, some years ago, I went to a so-called Christian counselor, and I sat in his office, and the Christian counselor told me, he said, "Oh, listen, that business about the staying married, that's just the view of a traditionalist. We don't accept that today." This was a Christian counselor. And I thought to myself, and I expressed that to this individual, if that is a traditionalist view, would to God that all God's people were traditionalist. Because God doesn't change. His law is one, and there it has not changed from the Old Testament to the New Testament. It is the same God. The purpose is also to reveal concisely a summary of the principles for Christian behavior. Most of the commandments, as you've noticed as we read them, and as I'm sure you're familiar, are all in the negative. Did you notice that? You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Why are they in the negative? Why couldn't God express them more positively? The reason is because each sin is represented in its worst form, but it intends to cover a broader category in that particular area. So that to say you shall not commit adultery is just the worst sin in that particular category, but it covers a multitude of sexual sins, as we will consider when we come to that commandment. Jesus taught how to interpret the Ten Commandments. You see, the Pharisees in his time thought that if they obeyed the Ten Commandments literally, that they would have kept them correctly. But Jesus said that it's much deeper than that. He said, "You've heard it said, you shall not commit adultery." And so the Pharisees congratulated themselves, "We haven't done that." But Jesus said, "I say to you, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery in his heart." So those who think that the commandments are just literal statements and don't understand more deeply, their spiritual meaning have not yet understood what Jesus intended. Is there a contradiction between what Jesus taught and the Ten Commandments? No, indeed. But Jesus said in John 5:46, "Had you believed Moses, you would have believed me also." But if you reject the Ten Commandments, and if you reject the Old Testament, Jesus said to them, then you're going to reject me. Let's move on quickly to the first commandment itself in the time that we have remaining. It says in verse 3 of Exodus 20, "You shall have no other gods before me." Did you know that the second person expressed there, "you," is expressed in the singular? So that God is not addressing a nation. He is not addressing the Jews. He is not addressing a church crowded, a group together. He is addressing you and you and you personally. He says, "You shall have no other gods," individually and personally. He says, "You shall have no other." In other words, you shall choose and worship and serve only one God, and that God is the Lord of heaven and earth, and His name is Yahweh. His name in the Anglicized version, Jehovah God. There are no other gods. They do not exist. How sad I was as I stood in a Hindu temple to hear a lady, our guide, say, when I am in a mosque, I am a Muslim. When I am in a temple, I am a Hindu. When I am in a church, I am a Christian. I pointed out to her afterward. I said, lady, you know that you can't be a Christian and be anything else. And she changed the subject. You see, Jesus Christ, God, will brook no rivals. Why? Because I am a jealous God. He's jealous for your love and for your devotion. The importance of this commandment is such that if you fail this commandment, then there is no way that you're going to keep the rest of the commandments. Do you have a problem honoring your father and mother? Do you have a problem keeping the Lord's name holy and not using it in vain? Do you have a problem coveting? Do you have a problem lusting? Do you have a problem stealing? My friend, your problem is with the first commandment, because you have another God. You see, if your problem is pride, then you have made a God of yourself. If your problem is lust, then you have made a God out of passion. If your problem is covetousness, then you have made a God out of material things. This commandment forbids the exalting of any other God. And what is that God? A God is anything that has become the most valuable in your life. Dear Christian, can you say today that you are worshiping God? And God alone? Or let me put it this way. What is that which is most valuable in your life? What is it that you cannot, that you will not, that you must not live without, that into which you place the ultimate and true value for your life? Well, dear friend, that thing is your God. It may be material, it may be fame, it may be your family, it may be your job, it may be your good looks or lack of them. Whatever it is, it has become a God in your life. You cannot live and keep these commandments until you first obey the first and the foremost commandment. We are forbidden in this commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. Atheism is forbidden. Secular humanism, which is anti-theistic and anti-Christian, is forbidden. Practical atheism is forbidden. What is practical atheism? Practical atheism is saying, I believe in God, but living as if you don't. That is saying, I am a Christian, and yet doing those things and practicing those things that contradict what you say. You're a practical atheist. If you can live like you want to, and yet say you're a Christian. This commandment forbids unbelief. It forbids anxiety and worry, because anxiety and worry are experiences that mean you're not believing in God anymore. What is the required things. What are the required things here? Obviously, when we read, "You shall have no other gods before me," that which is required is that you and I put God first. We like to quote the words of Jesus, "Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you," right? Wrong. I left out a phrase. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you." This commandment requires that we seek God first and that we seek to live a life of obedience to Him. And then we will have the blessing. It requires that we love Him. Jesus summarized the entirety of the law when He said, "This is the first commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And the second is like unto it, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." What is the purpose of the first commandment? What is the purpose of the entire law? It is to lead you to love God. That's really what God requires, to love Him. It means more than just delighting in Him and worshiping Him. To love Him means, as Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." The truth, the authenticity of your life as a Christian cannot be measured by church. It can only be measured by your obedience to Him. It also means one other thing in closing. It means that you not only love God, but that you also love the things that God loves, and on the other hand, that you hate the things that God hates. In the book of Proverbs in chapter 6, we read a list of things that God hates. It says, "God hates a proud look and a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that are swift in running to mischief, a false witness, and he that sows discord among brethren." These things God hates. Dear Christian, as we begin this series of studies on the Ten Commandments, and as we consider the first one, "You shall have no other gods before me," let us do so remembering the words of Jesus when He said that if we are to make full proof of our love for Him, we must obey what He says. We must keep His commandments. It could be that the reason that you have been failing to keep God's commandments is because God has simply not been first in your life. Maybe because you're not a Christian. Maybe because you have let other values crowd out God from your life. And I want to ask you this morning, as we start this series, will you bow in prayer with me and say to God, "Lord, I want you to be first and foremost in my life. I want you to be on the throne of my heart. I do believe you, and I want to put God first in my life." Will you pray that as I go to prayer right now? Let us pray. Our Father God, indeed, we do pray as we come into your presence saying, "Lord, I do want you first in my life. Forgive me for allowing the values and the principles and other gods and idols of the heart to crowd you out. I've worshiped at the altar of material things, of my own ego, of my pride, of my covetousness, of my lust. Lord, I want you on the throne. And as I come to you today, I would yield myself to you. Take me and let Christ be first in my life. In Jesus' name, amen.